You're listening to the Ink and Paint Girls podcast, where we celebrate women working in animation, illustration, and comics. In an effort to share their stories, we not only cover the steps they have taken to get to their dream jobs, but also the struggles. We highlight artists, writers, and producers, explore the ups and downs of working in the industry, and discuss female representation behind the scenes and on the screen. Born and raised in Ireland, Helen O'Flynn found herself at Sullivan Bluth Studios as an animation and paint checker on beloved films like The Land Before Time and All Dogs Go to Heaven, two of my childhood favorites. When work started to become thin, however, Helen had to head west to California to work during the Disney Renaissance. Oh, boo-hoo, right? Just kidding. But oh my god, she got to work on such films as Mulan, Hercules, Tarzan, and so many more. I'm not even mentioning other studio films like SpongeBob SquarePants movie, and even in television, like with the 7D and The Lion Guard. Checking and continuity coordinating are roles that you don't typically learn about in animation school, but Helen's story today proves that they may be one of the most important parts of the process.
My name is Helen O'Flynn. I'm an animation checker for nearly 30 years.
And what is an animation checker?
Really, it's all about saving money. Animation retakes are very, very expensive. And that's where a lot of money goes, is on the retakes. So it's to try and prevent the retakes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work. People don't always listen. animation retakes are slow and expensive. Just because there's so many people who work on the projects, mm-hmm. so that if you have to redraw or repaint or re-anything, mm-hmm. it's a very, very slow process, so it makes it expensive.
Mm-hmm. And there's less people on at the end as well?
Yes, yes, there is, yeah.
Yeah. And so checking helps alleviate as many problems as possible?
As possible, yeah, that's the idea. It's not a magic wand, but, you know, it... A good checker can save you a lot of money. A bad mm-hmm. checker, you're in trouble.
What are some of your favorite like projects you've worked on?
I have to admit, I'm a bit of a Disney geek.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my favorite project was Tarzan, and that was because I was working in feature and it was very, very complicated with the animating backgrounds and Deep Canvas and that. So I was working on a lot of that stuff.
On Tarzan, that was like the first movie that they had painted like in CG environments,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
They were like painting right on the models and
mm-hmm.
stuff. That's amazing. I loved the surf scenes when he'd surf.
Yes,
on the
yeah.
lines.
They were actually the scenes I worked on.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They were really good.
That's a lot of problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, working on features is very different than working in pre-production.
Mm-hmm.
They're called the same thing, and to be quite honest, I'm not really quite sure why, except the principle is maybe the same,
mm-hmm.
That you catch as many mistakes as possible to save money.
Mm-hmm.
But in feature animation, you're actually working on the drawings.
Mm-hmm.
You're fixing mistakes that before they go to ink and paint, before, you know,
mm-hmm.
all that work goes into putting color in. And then pre-production, it's more like trying to foresee what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing this for a very long time, so.
And when you say pre-production, do you mean like pre-production and TV?
Yeah. TV and film both have pre-production. Generally, the studios now are sending everything overseas, and you have control issues when it's not being done in-house.
Yeah.
So it's really to try and foresee what kind of problems you're going to come across,
mm-hmm.
make sure all the hookups are there, make sure that they have all the information they need,
mm-hmm.
because miscommunication, again, can get very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's always going to be issues over money and time, and your deadlines are locked. There's nothing that, you know, if you're working in features, your cinemas and all that, that's all locked down.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you can't, there's not a whole lot of give. So
yeah.
It has to be done on time. So if you're doing a lot of retakes, that time gets shorter.
And feature, they didn't. Did they do most of the animation over here, like all the digital painting and everything, or did they?
They did. No, they did up until they had a huge layoff in 2001, and they got rid of everybody 2D. Mm. And then when they brought us back for Pooh and
Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog. My God, why did I forget that? Yeah, when they brought us back for that, I think the cleanup was done. All of the cleanup was done in feature, and then they sent off all the painting to be done. Mm.
With the deadlines in feature, was it a little bit more relaxed than TV?
Oh, no.
That's what some people make it sound like, but maybe it's a different department that are a little bit more, like, relaxed.
I don't think deadlines have ever been really that relaxed. I know that feature was given a lot of time to work on stuff, because Disney stuff has to be so beautiful. They don't want it going out looking like crap, you know. So I know that the artists were given a lot of time to work on the project. But your deadline's your deadline. Like, there's nothing you can do about that. And there was a lot of hours put in, a lot of overtime hours, to try and make these movies happen, you know.
Yeah. So do you have any work-life balance? Or do you pretty much work whenever they need you to?
I pretty much work whenever they need me to. I don't think I have much of a choice, really. Animation is a weird thing. You know, you've either got too much work and you're trying to get it all done, or you've absolutely nothing. And when you've got absolutely nothing, that you've no idea of when you're going to work again. Like, I've been unemployed for 10 months. Mm. My husband was unemployed for a couple of years. Because, you know, like, I always remember leaving feature animation. I would give somebody advice about, don't stay in one studio, don't, like, stick it with Disney. And I know it's maybe a little bit different for production crew, but when I left feature animation, I came to feature animation from Ireland. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know a whole bunch of people, and it was like coming out of a cave. I'd worked there for 5 years, and I was like, I didn't know anybody. I found it hard to, like, go to Warner Brothers or someplace else, because I didn't know many people. Mm-hmm. I learned that the hard way. Mm-hmm. So now I just make sure that, as much as I love working for Disney, that I will take other jobs in other studios. So, because the more people you know in animation, the better it is. It's not that some people are just devoted to Disney, but mm-hmm. I would say personally, not anything against anybody in Disney or anything like that. I just found I had that experience before. So every now and again, I will take a little job somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But usually all animation jobs are short-term. Sometimes you can get lucky. I've been lucky the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. I've got pretty steady work. But I did have a few months off when I went and worked in Duncan Studios in Pasadena. And, you know, I try and keep myself out there, and I try and keep up with the technology because it changes so fast. Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep yourself sane when, you know, it is a lot of finding work almost every other year?
I don't stress out about it.
That's good. How, like,
I think I did. Uh-huh. I think I did, but, like, you're going to make yourself nuts. You just have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, put some money aside, make sure you have some money in savings so you can support yourself. Mm-hmm. And then batten down the hatches. Don't go out for dinner. You know, you know, that's really, it's the same as anybody. But you have to kind of accept it. Mm-hmm. And it's never anything, I think, to do with the, you know, if I didn't get a job, if somebody else get the job, I might hurt for about 2 minutes. But then you realize everybody else is in the same boat. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's never really personal. It's usually timing. And some, like, I have to admit, I'm pretty lazy about the stuff like that. I wait till I'm unemployed. Mm-hmm. And then I go, oh, I better go get a job. But, you know, some people are really proactive, and fair play to them. But I haven't learned that.
I haven't found the balance yet between being genuine about, like, networking. Like, because mm-hmm. it's really just connecting with people.
Right.
But, like, in the back of my head, it's like, oh, I should go talk to this person, but, like, I have an agenda.
You know, I don't like that.
I don't like it either. There's, like, nothing naturally pushing me towards a person. So, like, I'm like, oh, I gotta wait till I have something to connect us. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. It's a question. But, I know, most people are really quite open. Most producers, I found it, are very open to you contacting them. And will be very open to you to say, no, we got somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been my experience. But, you know, I'm sure others have had different experiences. Mm-hmm. I just don't take it so personally. Mm-hmm. And I see people get very upset. But I don't ever really think it's personal. I think it's just lousy timing on my part or, you know, or something else happened or whatever. But it usually works out. Mm-hmm. So I've been lucky. I've been very lucky compared to other people.
Right. So during your hiatus that you had, is that when you picked up on the new software or picked up some new skills? Or do you have, like, side projects or anything?
I learned harmony in Warner Brothers. I worked in CAPS in Disney Feature. And then when I went to Warner Brothers, they trained me in harmony. Mm-hmm. And we don't use harmony in pre-production in Disney. Mm-hmm. But I do try and occasionally take a job that is using it, mm-hmm. just to keep the skills up. And you kind of have to do that. And most, again, like Feature, when I went back to Feature and I hadn't used harmony in a couple of years because I was working in pre-production, not on production. And they're open. They know, you know. But usually it only takes a couple of weeks. It's all muscle memory. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to go, oh, shit, where's that button? But you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, it's like, and then when you go, oh, yeah, I'll get my shortcuts back again. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the shortcuts for, I thought it was funny, on, I was working in Duncan a couple years ago, I think. And I'd been moved from a job here, and I went there for a couple of months just to help out. And I kept using my Storyboard Pro shortcuts. It's like, damn it. You know? And I had to write everything down and put it in front of me because I'd been working on Storyboard Pro mm-hmm. for a couple of years. And then going back to Harmony, it was like, couldn't remember anything. But
okay. What are your thoughts on the differences between union shops and non-union shops?
Well, obviously you want a union job. You know, mm-hmm. that goes without saying. But not every studio can afford to be in the union, especially like some small studios. Mm-hmm. And it just is what it is. As long as they're paying union rate, mm-hmm. that's just the way it is. I've worked in a few studios where people have tried to unionize them, and I don't know if that worked out for the best, mm-hmm. because it's not always, they're not always able to. They want to be fair. They want to pay people according to what they want to pay, but they probably can't afford the union dues. They probably can't afford all the medical stuff. And so I don't know. Definitely, I would prefer a union, but mm-hmm. some studios, that's just the way it is. I kind of deal with it. But yeah, I know other people who get quite upset.
Yeah. I've gotten advice to stick with union jobs. But yes. I think it's, you know, it's interesting advice because you don't always get a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like whatever job's next, you know, for the most part. So you came from Ireland.
I did.
When was that?
I came here in 95, early 95.
And you worked in animation over there?
I did. I started in 1986 in Dublin, 87 in Dublin, working for Sullivan Bluth. And then I went to London for a couple of years. And that was just because I was young and I wanted to travel. And then I went back to Dublin and I worked for a couple of years, but work was really hard to get, you know, mm-hmm. the industry. Unlike now, it's thriving, but at that time it was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So there was just a wave of Irish in 94 and 95 who all moved to LA. Because that's where the work was, you know.
Yeah.
But again, we were all very young and had a lot of fun while mm-hmm. we were doing it.
I know this information's probably dated by now since it was a while ago since you moved, but like, what were the differences that you recognized between animation in Ireland as opposed to here?
Well, I was trained by an American company.
Oh, that's true.
And that was LA-based. Mm-hmm. So really, the differences, I didn't see very many. Mm-hmm. But I would say that Disney Feature is very, very structured in its production. Mm-hmm. Not all other studios are like that. Other studios, sometimes it's kind of like controlled mayhem. But yeah, Disney is very, very structured in the way it produces movies. They have it down. They've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And like, I think some of the other studios where they would, you know, just have a production, like a feature movie. But they'd only do one in every 10 years. Or, you know what I mean? Something like that. So it's less structured.
It's also really expensive.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So let me ask you.
Okay.
You went to college to study animation. Mm-hmm, or did. Or was it just film in general?
Well, the degree is film and video, but mm-hmm. I only took a handful of film classes. I concentrated in traditional animation. And I took some foundational CG as well.
Yeah.
Because they were always saying, if you want to put food on the table, you better go into CG.
Yes. True.
But I don't even see as that many CG jobs out there right now, except in feature, you know? It seems like TV is going back to 2D now.
Yeah, but 2D is all done overseas.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
it's a real shame. I'd love, because some of the artists out there, I've worked with a lot of them, and they're just so talented, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd really love to see a 2D project here, but it's very hard to compete with Korea or India or, you know, just financially to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd love to see, like, some American studios or California studios, you know, doing that.
Yeah.
Just because I'd love to see all those talent people working mm-hmm. and what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for everybody to get jobs. I've just been very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very, very lucky.
Yeah. What do you think has strengthened those connections to the people that have looked out for you?
I would like to think they know I'm going to get the job done. You know, I like to think that that's what it is,
yeah.
that they bring me back because they go, oh, okay, well, we know Helen's going to do it and she'll get it out. I might complain, but I'll get it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the deadlines are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And sometimes mm-hmm. I find that a little frustrating because as a checker, I want it to be perfect going out. I hate when mm-hmm. I'm told to cut a corner or, you know, you have to be a little bit anal to be a checker in the first place. So
yeah.
It's kind of like, it does make me a little bit nuts, but, you know, I get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want retakes because then I go, but they made me do that. You know, they
yeah.
made me send that and I didn't want to, you know, but
mm-hmm.
production has its own issues as well and its own commitments to the studios and that all has to be weighed and judged, so.
Yeah, and unfortunately when, you know, storyboard artists get an additional week to finish the board.
Oh, that means I get a week less.
Yeah, exactly. And then color needs an extra week, and et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, actually, color doesn't affect you in our
production
pipeline. No. But, you know, the idea remains the same.
Yeah, just the deadline keeps slipping.
And, I'm currently learning post, like retakes
right now.
And we're doing a show that I coordinated in pre. And there's, like, all these things, and I'm like, I can't believe I missed that. More of, like, I didn't send a baton for this one scene, and I'm just like, ugh.
I know. Yeah. And it's silly, the things that doesn't get in there. Because I've worked in both feature and pre-production. I'm always trying to compare the two, what I need to do, because I know what they need
mm-hmm.
to work on a production.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, but you know, I always look at it like, I always said to a friend of mine, if you make a mistake, don't freak out about it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of our job is I look at other people's mistakes all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't judge them because that's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So when I make one, it might make me a little bit crazy, but get over it because as long as you're not making a ton of mistakes, as long as you're not making expensive mistakes or... But, you know, that's just human nature. That's just... And it cracks me up because it's the one job everybody tries to get rid of.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, you don't need checkers. People do that. You know, they'll take care of it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I always chuckle to myself because I guarantee you in 6 months later, I will be sitting on that production that doesn't need checkers.
Yeah.
You know, because people can't police themselves. I'm not calling myself police, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And people do not always, like, could have a beautifully creative eye and, you know, but... not have an eye for the numbers or hookup or, you know, something like that.
And sometimes it's difficult to switch between those brains.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, going back and, like, renumbering something, like, maybe you just want to continue drawing, you know?
Right. But I always feel bad because generally artists don't like checkers. They don't like to see you coming.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so personal, I think. Their artwork is just so personal, and they see a checker coming, and it's all like, oh, crap. You want, what should she want, you know?
Yeah. How do you handle those interactions when, like, you come to someone who really doesn't want to talk to you?
Try a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Generally, I'm not being judgmental when I'm bringing something back. It's just I'm bringing it back because I need help getting it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen checkers that go in, they're like a school mom. They're like, I really try not to do that. It's just, you're not their mother.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I look sometimes at those checkers heading into a department and go, oh, I know what's coming. But, yeah, I try not to do that, and I make a really conscious effort not to do that. It doesn't always work because people are very sensitive, you know, about their artwork. It's a very personal thing. I just try my best not to be looking down on people or treating them like I'm their principal or, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of important as a checker because, you know, people don't like being talked down to.
Yeah. <You know. laughs> Have you ever been through a difficult, like, time in your career? And I'd like to know how you got through it.
I think the difficult times I had in my career would be more how they've affected me personally. Like, I know there was a period I had been working quite literally 7 days a week for nearly 2 years.
Wow.
And I was really burnt out. And I just didn't want to take another job. I wasn't able to. But as it turned out, my father got quite ill at the time and I was traveling back and forth. So it was a good thing that I was unemployed. But yeah, that period of my life, because I was going through a personal issue as well,
mm-hmm.
as the professional issue. And basically, just getting back to work, that's how I dealt with it. You know, because
mm-hmm.
I'm one of these people, I'm not good at being unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not. I like, people go, oh, I'm going to do my garden and stuff. And I love gardening. Mm-hmm. But I don't, I'd rather much rather be working. Because
yeah.
I get so stressed out about finances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a house and you want to, like, a mortgage and you're like,
yeah.
Crap.
Last year I rolled off at the beginning of April and I was like, oh, good. I have a month to plan my wedding because I had pushed a lot mm-hmm. of things to, like, when I'd be laid off. 3 days in, I was on the floor crying, I need a job. But luckily I got a job a week later. And yeah. But then, like, the wedding was harder to do then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought I was going to handle it a lot better, but I freaked out.
Yeah. Well, it messes with your head. It really does.
Yeah.
Like, I personally love when somebody goes to me, we're going to be back in 2-3 months. And a lot of producers don't want to do that because they're afraid they're going to be locked down to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally love when a producer says that, even if it goes on to 4-5 months, but at least in my brain, I know that there's something coming up. The problem is that they don't want to do that because just in case they're held to the day, you know.
Yeah.
Animation is so flexible. I understand it will be very difficult to do that.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you have a house and a mortgage.
I do.
When you were deciding to go in on that, what did you think about, like, what made you, like, actually do it? Just with how unsteady the industry is why I'm asking.
Well, at the time, I was working in feature, and my husband was working in feature, and we had no idea that 2D was going to... so that was innocence, just not realizing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had steady work for 5 years, so we were kind of confident, mm-hmm. a little stupidly. But yeah,
that's the best time to be confident.
Yeah. Yeah, and the two of us working in the animation industry was not probably a good idea as well, but mm-hmm. that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Can't divorce him for that.
Yeah, believe me, I've thought about that with my husband because he's also in animation.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I've not thought about divorcing him. That's a joke. But... yeah, it's worrisome, though,
because yeah.
like, if one's unemployed and the other one then, like, rolls off their show, then what, you know?
Then you take a vacation. But that's, yeah, that's another yeah. thing. Then I'm like, I can't take a vacation now. I don't have a job.
Yeah. Well, also, you don't know when you're going to go back to work. You
right.
know, like, what if you needed that vacation money you saved up to, like, live an extra 2 months before the next job happens?
Yeah. But it always cracks me up. They always call you on a Friday and go, can you start Monday? And I'm like, in my head, going, well, yeah, of course, but you didn't know that 2 weeks ago? I could have been on vacation.
Things happen so quickly. That, yeah. Like, I'm always amazed how, like, fast people get hired or not, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think one time on this production, like, we lost a designer, and then, like, less than an hour later, they had already decided who else they would hire.
Yeah.
You know, that was crazy. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. This, you know, it's a lot of good people.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
In this industry.
So how did you get your checker position? Like, did you have to have a portfolio for that? Because I've never seen that on a job board.
Well, when I started as I sent my portfolio into Sullivan Bluth. And there was no animation colleges in Ireland at the time. So everybody, I did art design and media studies, but I didn't do animation.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got a job as a cell painter. And I did that, and then I became a paint checker. And then I became an animation checker. But it was all things that I was trained on the job. But back in the old days when they actually used paint.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, art or animation heroes? Like, people you look to for inspiration?
That's hard. You know, there's just too many. That's hard, and I don't want to really mention names because I might be dissing somebody else and don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I have a lot of respect for the artists, mostly because I'm blown away by their work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of animation heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people that I would love to have a piece of artwork in my home.
Yeah.
You know, just do me a sketch, quick. Yeah. You know, I would never ask anybody to do that.
I always want to be like, do it on a post-it note. Because those go by so quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, over here, I think the last study about women in animation was, like, 20% of, like, major creative roles, like, 20% are women, you know, and so, like, it's still very male-dominated.
Mm-hmm.
When you were in Ireland, was that similar? Like, were there a lot of women animators at, like, Bluth?
No, there was some, but it would have been probably, yeah, it is mostly male-dominated. I think the women were mostly in checking or painting or mm-hmm. something like that. But yeah. Actual animators themselves, there was a few.
Because I think Linda Miller was one.
She was. Right? Anne-Marie yeah. Bardwell. And who else were actually animators? Because a few trained up,
mm-hmm.
obviously. But who came over? Like, Kathy Jones was clean up.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think Linda and Anne-Marie. I know I'm forgetting somebody and insulting somebody right now.
It's okay.
It was 30 years ago. Give me a break.
Of course. No, I was just curious. Because, like, you know, I feel like there's a lot more women, like, than I ever thought were in the industry. Like, I didn't actually know there was an issue until I got in it and learned about women in animation and their mission, you know, 50% by 2025 and everything.
I don't think that's going to happen, but they can keep dreaming.
Why do you not think it's going to happen?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. It's you have to want to go into animation. Because I think when you're going to college, you have to have the idea that you want to be an animator.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to be a background artist or... I don't know. When I went to college, I wanted to be a cameraman. So, I don't, you know, I animation is, well, it's different from my generation. Like, there was no animation colleges.
Mm-hmm, right.
You just kind of fell into a job, you mm-hmm. know. But I don't know. I think it will be down to what young people want to do and what they want to study in college.
Yeah, of course. Because... apparently, like, numbers of girls going into, like, animation school, they're getting higher and higher to almost 50%.
Oh, wow.
A little bit more. At least they did a study at CalArts and I think a school in Canada. But I think I've been reading a lot of books. And I don't remember which one I read this out of, but they were saying that, you know, when a man is told no, most men would get a fire under them being like, well, I'll show you. Mm-hmm. But then when a woman is told no... they'll be like, well, maybe this isn't meant for me. And then they'll think about other things they could do.
I think that depends on the woman.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I feel like there's never any strict rules because, you know, there can't be, you know, because people are unpredictable. But I don't know, because I know some women in production, and I think that's kind of their story. And I feel like I also struggle with that because I'm currently in production. But, like, I went to school to be an animator, but it's, like, so difficult to get those jobs because there's so few of them out there. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do pencil on paper kind of animation.
Right, right.
Not really flash.
Right.
So it's like deciding what now? Stay in production, climb that ladder, or figure out what part of the production pipeline that I would like to art in, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a weird line to kind of go over because a lot of producers don't want artists in production, you know?
Really?
That's what I've heard from producers. And I've not gotten a couple jobs because of that as well.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder why. Just too damn artistic. I don't know, though. I think you kind of have to at some point put, like, if that's what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, maybe you could ask somebody to give you a chance if they have some character designs, or they have, you know.
Yeah, that's so much easier at a non-union shop, too. So for, you know, people wanting to get into animation, do you have any advice for them?
Don't beat yourself up if you're not working, because you're going to have to get over that. You kind of have to develop a thick skin for that. Otherwise, you're going to be a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... So just go out there knowing that there are going to be times where you're going to be unemployed and you're going to have to work at non-union houses and you're going to have to work on projects and with people you don't like, just because it is a career and we can't always pick and choose. And also, if you don't like somebody, just know that you're going to be working with them 20 years later or 10 years later. Mm-hmm. So don't get, like, you can figure out how to work with somebody without making yourself or them crazy.
Yeah, it's a very small community.
It is a very small, small community. And God knows I've wanted to rip somebody and not, and then be very grateful because the next project they were my boss.
What's it called? Immigrate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and get visas and stuff? I'm sure the process is different, but do you have any advice for them?
Like, especially moving, I think, from anywhere in Europe, it's a very, very different place than European cities.
Mm-hmm.
And LA is even different than American cities. There's no central, there's no... One thing, you have to learn to drive. And an awful lot of Europeans don't know how to drive because the public transport system is so good.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, if you're going to come here, first thing before you come here is learn to drive. It's because you're going to have to, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not going to be given a choice. Mm. And I didn't do that. I had to take driving lessons when I got here.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was terrifying because, again, freeways, you don't have anything that size when I moved here.
Mm-hmm. They've gotten bigger since.
And they've gotten bigger since, yeah. And I still something I'm not really comfortable driving.
Mm.
You know, I do it, but it's a little bit out of my comfort zone on freeways.
I feel that way within the city limits.
Yeah.
Because I always feel like someone's going to walk in front of my car. That's like my worst fear. One of my worst fears right there.
Is hitting somebody?
Yeah. Because they just kind of jump in the middle of the road sometimes. I'm like...
Don't drive in Ireland.
Oh, no. Really?
They don't have jaywalking rules, and I know it scared a lot of Americans and Canadians that were working there because people would just walk out in the street.
Oh my gosh. I want to go there so bad. I don't know if I can handle it.
This good transport.
I'll ride the bus. Perfect. Thank you for the advice.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. It helps us reach and share these stories with a wider audience. In sharing these female voices, we strive not only to help pave a path for aspiring women professionals, but to build a community and safe space for female creatives to support and empower one another. Like life, working in these industries is not a destination, but a journey of hopping from project to project, So I think we could all use the support. Want to chat? We're on Twitter at Ink, the letter N, Paint Girls, on Facebook at Ink and Paint Girls Podcast, or email us at, guess what, Ink and Paint Girls Podcast at gmail.com. The Ink and Paint Girls Podcast is brought to you by me, creator and host Cassie Soliday, and produced by Val Patron in sunny Burbank, California. Although I have to admit, today it was raining. Music composed by TV Skyle. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent those of our respective employers. Until next time, this has been the Ink and Paint Girls Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.